Hello, kids. Welcome to another episode of Exploring the Future. I'm so glad you have joined us. You may be wondering why I brought my stuffed animals. I used to sleep with stuffed animals when I was a kid. I don't sleep with them anymore, but they still sometimes make it into my dreams. Today, Tina is going to show us how God used animals to teach Daniel about kingdoms that were coming in the future. We have a song we'd like to teach you that will help you learn the animals and the kingdoms they represent. We're going to sing that song together now, and after that, we'll sing our theme song. Segment now, Milka is going to be talking to us about fruit trees.
It's time to take a break and eat. A trail mix snack is a very good choice for backpacking. Nuts and dried fruit provide good nutrition, calories, and it's light to carry. For dry fruit, I love apples, apricots, and mangoes.
Even though dried fruit is not the same as fresh fruit, it's still good. Fruit in general provide an excellent source of vitamins and minerals, and they are high in fiber. Thank God for the trees that give us nuts and fruit. They are essential to our survival. A healthy fruit tree will give plenty of delicious and nutritious fruit. As we learned on a previous session, trees with a good root system that allows them to get a good nutrition from the soil and good anchorage will be strong, healthy trees. Fruit trees need plenty of sunshine too. As the fruit tree grows stronger every day, it will produce good fruit that we can enjoy and benefit from. Here is another character lesson from a tree. When you get your nutrition and power from your connection with Jesus, you will produce good fruit that will bless those around you. These fruits are referred in the Bible as the fruits of the Spirit. This is found in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus promised to send someone special to help us. Let's look it up in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is like a gardener who will help us produce the good fruit the book of Galatians is talking about. If we produce good fruit, we will be such a blessing to the world around us.
This leads us to our fifth essential item in our character backpack. We need the Holy Spirit to help us produce really good fruit.
Is the Holy Spirit? There are some verses in the Bible that give us clues to answer this question. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the command to make new disciples and baptize them in the name of the three distinct persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Holy Spirit is described as a helper. His job is to teach and remind people of what Jesus said. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." The Holy Spirit will guide us to the truth. He will speak what he hears, and he will let us know what's coming. Romans 8:26-27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Holy Spirit works hard on our behalf with inexpressible groanings. Number 2. How can I get the Holy Spirit? Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So if we ask our Father in heaven to give us the Holy Spirit, we will receive him. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' When we get baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit."
All right, kids, get your Bibles. It's time to learn about the beasts that teach Daniel about the future.
As a child, I went to some prophecy meetings with my parents and saw some strange beasts that scared me. I didn't think we should go back to those meetings because I didn't understand why they were talking about them. You see, I didn't understand, and thus they were scary to me. Later, a lady named Beatrice Ranke did a Revelation for Kids seminar, and I was able to attend. When I was given the tools to understand, they didn't seem scary to me anymore, because I understood they were just symbols. Do you know what symbols are? Let's see if you do. What symbol is this? I bet you know. That's a symbol for McDonald's, right? What about this one? Well, if you need to go to the bathroom, You really need to understand that symbol pretty well, don't you? Some things seem scary to us when we don't understand them. Imagine that you've grown up in a mountain village where you had never seen a car before. Maybe in Borneo. And now you're 10 years old and you walk down the mountain and you see a bus or car for the first time. Would that be kind of scary to you? You might think those vehicles were strange, wild animals and run away from them. You aren't scared of vehicles because you understand about them. Well, I think when you leave here after this lesson, you will understand about them and they won't seem so scary anymore. I really like this lesson because we get to be like detectives. Detectives are people who try to solve mysteries with just a few clues that they've been given. God has some very important things for us to understand today. In order to learn the lesson He wants to teach us, though, we have to pay close attention to the clues He's given us in the Bible. Why do we have to put clues together in order to understand? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Do you want to say a special prayer that God will reveal His mysteries to you? The first thing we need to do every time we open the Bible is to what? Pray. Pray for God to help us understand it. Why don't you pray that in your heart too? Father in heaven, Lord, we want to understand these mysteries that you've given us in your word. We know that's what this meeting is all about, is understanding and exploring the future that you have revealed to your servants, the prophets. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to open our minds, illuminate it, so that we can be the wise who understand these amazing truths. Talk to us now, we pray. Join us in our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've prayed for wisdom, so our thinking caps are in place. So here come our clues. Learn them well, and you will be able to explain this prophecy to me. It's neat how God has put the Bible together like a puzzle. One part of the Bible explains another part of the Bible, which seems like foolishness to those who are perishing. But for God's people, it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. When you see how it all fits together, you're amazed by God's power and wisdom. And of course, this grows your faith in Him. So, let's start with this one right here. What does this one look like? Wind. This represents wind. So when we hold it out, we say wind. It's a little flashcard so you can learn these prophecies. So when I hold this up, you say wind. What is wind a symbol of? Strife or war. Jeremiah 49, 36 and 37 uses wind as a symbol for strife with swords. Strife is when people fight each other, especially when one country takes over another country. Revelation 7, 1 talks about the angels holding back the winds of strife. So wind equals strife. Okay, got it? So when I hold this up, you say wind, strife. Okay, so what about this one? Water. You can just say water, but water is a symbol for people, okay? So when I hold this up, well, and let me explain. Revelation 17, verse 15 says, the waters represent people's nations or tongues. People's nations and tongues, okay? So when I hold this up, you say water, and it represents people, nations, and tongues, okay? Now, what about this one? Wings in the Bible represent speed. Habakkuk 6, 1 through 8 equates flying eagle's wings with hastening, flying, or speed. So when we hold it out, we say wings and speed. So it equals wings, wings equals speed, okay? One more. These are beasts, like we saw earlier. These strange-looking beasts are symbols. Daniel 7, 17 tells us that these beasts represent kings or kingdoms. So if we hold it out, we say beasts equals kings and kingdoms. Okay,
So now you've been given the clues and the keys to understanding this prophecy. Are you ready for having Jesus help you with this prophecy? Let's practice it for just a minute. Okay? What's this? Wings equal speed. Very good. Okay? So when you see that in the prophecy, you'll know, oh, we're talking about speed. What about this? Water. Water equals peoples, nations, and tongues. Good. Okay. So what's this? Wind. Wind equals what? Wind equals strife. Good. And beasts. Beasts equal kings or kingdoms. So one more time so you have it in your head. See if you can beat me to it as you watch this video. Okay? So wings. Wings equal what? Speed. Speed of conquest specifically, right? Okay. What's this? Water. Water represents what? Peoples, nations, and tongues. Good. Now, wind. Wind equals strife. Good. Strife. And beasts are kings or kingdoms. So I think you've got it. Now you have the clues or the keys to understand this prophecy. Are you ready to have Jesus help you interpret the prophecy like he helped Daniel interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams? Great. Let's get started. So let's get your Bible and open to chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Okay. So it's talking about four beasts. And we're going to start in verse 1. Aren't you glad Daniel wrote this down so we can read it and understand it? Let's read verses 1 and on. Okay? 1 and 2. Okay. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. So remember, we learned King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Now Daniel is having a dream. God's prophet. He wrote the dream down, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Those winds stirring up the great sea, what's that? Well, winds, we know, represents what? Strife. So there's probably some war going on, and it's stirring up the great sea, which is what? People. So these people, there's a lot of strife going on, right? Okay, you're getting it. So now let's read verse 3. Verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. So beasts are what? Kings or kingdoms. So there are four kings or kingdoms coming out of a lot of water. Water, people. People, nations, and tongues. So these kingdoms are coming out of all these people. So kingdoms usually consist of people, right? So these kings or kingdoms are coming out of a lot of people with war and strife. Now, they don't all come up at once, or they would be reigning at the same time. They come out separately. Also, they are different from each other. So they are different kingdoms. Let's keep reading verse 4 and see what the first beast is like. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given it. A lion is coming out of water, and it has wings. So what does that mean? So these wings means it's conquering really quickly. A lion is very majestic, isn't it? Color is a lion. Golden. Well, that's interesting. Do you remember when we talked about a statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about, and it had different metals that represented different kingdoms? So these different kingdoms of earth that would reign. Who was the head of gold? King Nebuchadnezzar? and Babylon. So, you have any idea what king or kingdom a lion could represent? Let me give you a big clue. We can still see these lions found on the Ishtar Gate in Babylon. Excavators have found these lions with wings in ruins of Babylon. Do you see them? And they've rebuilt these in museums that you can go to and see. Do they look similar to the one in Daniel's dream? Well, it has wings, right? And we know that sometimes nations, even schools, have symbols that they think represents them, right? What is a symbol we use for America? The eagle. Okay, detectives, who does this lion represent? It represents the kingdom of Babylon. And I need to tell you that often prophecies begin in the time of the prophet. So that's a really big help. So we read that Daniel had his dream in the first year of King Belshazzar. He was the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. So this prophecy begins at Babylon like our metal statue did. Notice that in Daniel's dream, the wings were plucked off. So was Babylon conquering quickly anymore? No. Belshazzar was partying and careless, wasn't he? His grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, had conquered the whole earth very quickly. Remember, the winds were coming from four different directions, north, south, east, and west, representing all over the then known world. The lion stood up like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. Do you think a lion can run faster with four legs or two? Certainly with four. A lion can outrun a man. So that makes sense when the wings were being plucked off. It used to conquer very quickly, but it slowed way down. King Nebuchadnezzar ruled 40 out of the 70 years that Babylon reigned. And notice, we read that a man's heart was given to the lion, which is more wild. The heart of an animal or the heart of a man? Remember, we learned that Nebuchadnezzar had a heart conversion, didn't he? Let's read verse 5. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." So he's seeing another beast coming out of water. So what would that be? Another kingdom. So we have established that the first beast represents Babylon. Who reigned after Babylon? Medo-Persia. Let's see if Medo-Persia fits with the description of this bear. The bear is raised up on one side. The chest and arms of silver had two arms, Media and Persia. Do you have one arm that is stronger than the other? Sometimes that arm is bigger than the other. Well, this bear is raised up on one side. So, could it be stronger on that side? Interestingly, Persia was stronger than Media. It has three ribs in its mouth. If an animal just devoured something, can it sometimes carry the bones with it as it goes? Three ribs means it's been conquering, doesn't it? When Medo-Persia took over Babylon, it took over three provinces of Babylon called Lydia, Egypt, and Phrygia. Interesting thing to know. One more thing that makes bear an interesting symbol for Medo-Persia is that a bear cannot retract its claws like a cat can. Have you ever seen a cat retract its claws into its paw? Can you think of a story we just learned about where a king couldn't change his own law? Yes, King Darius had to throw Daniel into the lion's den because he couldn't change his own law. Remember, he worked until the going down of the sun to try to keep from throwing his most trusted advisor into the den of lions. Daniel was finally thrown into the lion's den because the law couldn't be changed. That was really a foolish law, wasn't it? But it was really because they worshipped their kings. You want someone you worship to be faultless, right? So the king couldn't change his own laws. I want you to tuck that little question away in your head. Would a perfect God change His perfect law? Interesting. We'll be studying more about that in a coming lesson. But let's read verse 6. Verse 6 says, "After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on his back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it." Interesting. It looks like a leopard. Are leopards made to run fast? Oh, yes, they are. What else makes this beast look so fast? It doesn't just have 2 wings, like the lion did. It has 4 wings. So you think it is really conquering very quickly? What else stands out to you as you hear the description of this beast that makes it different than any other leopard you've ever seen? It has 4 heads. That wouldn't look scary and strange. That would. I mean, it would look strange and scary, wouldn't it? What could it mean that it has 4 heads? What do you think this kingdom was? Okay, so Greece had a leader that conquered the then known world very quickly. Do you remember the name from when we talked about the belly and thighs of brass? His name was Alexander the Great. He showed he could conquer many cities over the whole world, but he couldn't control himself very well. The Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Proverbs 16:32. He died from a combination, they think, of alcohol and malaria at the young age of 32. It was obvious he was dying, so his 4 generals needed to know who was going to take his place. They asked him on his deathbed, and all he said was, "The strongest." When he died, instead of having the strongest to rule, they all 4 ruled the kingdom of Greece. Now, a leopard blends in with its surroundings quite well, doesn't it? The religions that came out of Greece were kind of like that. In fact, you may have heard of Greek mythology. Greek mythology certainly doesn't worship our God. Have you noticed how ferocious these beasts are? They are very beast-like, aren't they? They are what we would call beasts of prey, not like a lamb that is gentle and wouldn't hurt anything. All these kingdoms are beast-like, except Babylon. It starts to change because it's given the heart of a man. Remember how Nebuchadnezzar changed his heart of stone for a heart of flesh? You can read in Ezekiel 36:26 that you can do that too. So let's read about the last beast in verse 7. "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." This beast is so horrible that Daniel can't even compare it to anything he's ever seen before. He can only describe it as dreadful and terrible. How did he describe the teeth of this beast? Iron teeth. Make you think of anything? Yes, the Iron Kingdom of Rome and the legs of iron in the image. It was such a dreadful, terrible kingdom. Who do you think it killed? It killed Jesus, and it killed many of his disciples. And it has tried to crush out truth and has been so very unkind in its attempts to do so. If you keep reading in Daniel 7, you'll learn a lot more about this beast of Rome. Remember how we learned that the iron doesn't go away until Jesus sets up his kingdom. It tries to mix with the clay, but unsuccessfully. Well, the horns on this image tell us a lot about it. In fact, it tells us later on in verse 7 about the recent past and even the near future. And that's a very interesting study we're going to get to. We're going to learn how accurately God has prophesied about that Roman power. So we've already learned that we can trust the Bible. What it predicts certainly takes place. The beasts don't seem quite as scary now, do they? Daniel 12:10 says, "None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." He offers to help all of us understand. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Aren't you glad we don't have to be afraid of reproach when we ask him for that wisdom? Because he knows we need it. Daniel 7 goes on to tell about Jesus setting up a court in heaven and having a time of judgment before Jesus comes with the clouds. If you keep reading Daniel, it tells even more about those kingdoms and what is going to happen in heaven and here on earth right before Jesus sets up his kingdom. If Israel had read and studied Daniel, they would have known exactly to the very year when the Messiah would begin his ministry, even the year he would die. We call that the 2300-year prophecy. Satan distracted them from learning these things, but we will get to study this 2300-year prophecy in our next lesson. Setting up his kingdom, though, makes me think of Daniel 2 and the rock that hit the image. So, I think we have another timeline in to look at here. So, we remember Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and at the feet of iron and clay. And we have just learned some important clues that go along with our timeline. So, we have Babylon, represented by the lion with two wings. And then we have the kingdom of Medo-Persia, which is represented by the bear on our timeline. And then we have the leopard, which is represented by the kingdom of Greece, the belly and thighs of brass. And then we have a dreadful, terrible kingdom that is represented by Rome. It represents Rome, I should say. And we're going to learn a lot more about that because we're even going to have a horn to learn about. Well, all those horns to learn about, but we'll get to that. So now I want you to get your little timeline out and you have the little pieces to put together so you can really visualize that this is a timeline. So we have the kingdom of Babylon, and represented by the lion, the Medo-Persian bear, and the leopard, and the dreadful, terrible beast. So now you know where to put it on your timeline. And like it is just a timeline God has put together that we can understand what's to come and we can explore the future. I'm so excited God has given us prophecy. He's merciful to tell his people ahead of time what is coming. Jesus stated it well concerning prophecy. He said, "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he." John 14:29. He has used the metal image and the beasts to tell us about the future. Each of them gives us more descriptions and details about the different kingdoms that would come in the future. Future for Daniel, history for us, but we still have future to look forward to. God gives us the Bible so we won't be deceived by Satan. Do you think Satan wants us to understand these important things? Oh no. That's because Revelation is a revelation of Jesus. I think you'll see how much Daniel and Revelation work together to reveal a loving God that we can trust with our future. I hope you're finding these prophecies to be exciting. It gives me peace just knowing that nothing can happen that our God isn't aware of, and he has an overall plan that we can trust. If you want to thank Jesus for giving us these prophecies, why don't you tell him in your heart as we pray? Father in heaven, it's so neat to see how all this fits together. And you gave a pagan king a dream to tell the future. And then you gave your prophet a dream that gave us more details about what would come in the future. And Lord, we look forward to the rock coming. We know your kingdom is next to be set up, and we can't wait for that time to come.
Until then, Lord, make us faithful. Faithful to study these things for ourselves, like the Bereans did. Faithful to really apply our heart to understanding, as Proverbs tells us to. And then we can be faithful when the tests come. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kids, Jesus is coming again soon. I want to be ready. How about you? Thank you so much for watching. It's time for us to go now. We'll see you next time. Bye.